Right, today I'm at Parkhouse Stables near Newbury with Maddie and Miriam and Jason Watson. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us today.
No problem.
Can you just please both introduce yourselves? Maddie first.
I am Maddie O'Mara and I am the head girl at Parkhouse Stables for Andrew Golding.
And Jason?
I'm Jason Watson and I'm a professional jockey and just got a job with Roger Charlton.
Okay, can you tell me how long you've both been involved? We're at the Andrew Bowling Yard at the moment. Can you tell me how long you've been involved with this yard?
I have been in Andrew's yard for 5 years, but I did take a year out to go to Australia.
And I was been here about 3 years now, and I took out my licence 2 years ago.
Okay, Jason, you're a graduate of the Kingsgate Finishing School. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Finishing my apprenticeship with Andrew Balding, I kind of finished it midway through the season and obviously went straight into being a professional jockey. The transaction through was very, I didn't really notice it, to be honest, and I was having such a great year. It just didn't seem to stop the way things went and I still kept riding. All the right trainers.
Okay, Maddie, you're head girl here. What does that job entail, and can you describe a typical day for us, if there is a typical day?
Yeah, a typical day is waking up at about 4:30 in the morning to go and feed my barn of 27, and then I'll come back in and probably fall asleep on the sofa and then start again at 6:30, riding 4 lots in between. Running up and down from the barn to leg people up, put bandages on, and then we have a short break from 12:30 till 3:30 where I'll go back and check round the horses to make sure their legs and everything else is in good order and they're looking well, and then anything that needs to be done medical wise or anything, get that done and then feed up for the night, put them to bed.
Is it ever involved going racing?
No, it doesn't. I stay on the yard.
Jason, you had a meteoric rise to fame in 2018, the easiest winner of the apprentice title since Paul Hannigan in 2002 with 110 winners, including a group race. What do you attribute that success to?
I can't just pinpoint it on one thing, but I'd say obviously my agent. I made the switch to Mr. Hind, who does the likes of Ryan Moore and Andrea Zini and Jim Crowley. I made the move to him just after I lost my £7 claim, but also I've got Mr. Balding to thank for giving me the chance to even get my licence out, and John Reed as well, my jockey coach. He's always been a great help to me.
So how does it work when you're an apprentice? Do you get paid for rides and do you get prize money still, or do you just get a set wage and you just learn your craft?
No, you do get paid. Depends kind of who you're with. To be honest, who you assign yourself to as apprentice. With Mr. Balding, what happens is he takes half of your riding fees and your winnings. But in order for him to do that, he has to give you a certain amount of rides in the year. And to be honest, I think that's the way to go forward. If you're getting some of your earnings taken away from you, then you do need the extra support. But I think that encourages trainers to give apprentices more of a chance.
Okay, now I understand you're both a couple. Is working in the horse racing industry a help or a hindrance to life as a couple together?
I think because we both are in the industry, it works quite well because we both understand what we're doing. To be honest, I think it works quite well.
Yeah.
Because I understand he's a jockey, so he's away racing, and he knows I'm up early doing my job as well, so it works.
Yeah, it's I think that's important that we both understand that our lifestyles, and they're very busy lifestyles, but obviously you have your little flickers, but that's the way it is, isn't it?
what drew you both to horse racing in the first place?
I've been riding my whole life, but I quite like to go fast and I like my hunting and stuff like that, and I wanted to always work with the horses, and it was the only real proper horse industry that you have a set wage and you get looked after, and I've loved it, and I've gone point to pointing with my own since, and wouldn't look back.
Okay, Jason, what drew you to it?
My parents got me involved. They used to learn down at riding school down back in Brighton where I'm from, and the instructor was a ex-jockey, and he taught me to ride as well, and he just kind of said to me, hinted to me and my parents that I might be good enough to be a jockey one day, so that's kind of where it took off.
Okay, and you had a tremendous 2018, like we said, winning the group race, the Stewards Cup, and then you got the plum job of Roger Charlton, quoted as short as 10-1 to be champion jockey. And on the 4th of January, racing showed how it can bring people down. You tell us about the fall at Kempton.
Look, it was a four-runner race. You don't expect anything to happen in a field that small, but my horse just seemed to stumble not long after we had started the race, and we both went down and hit the floor hard, and I suffered three fractures in my neck and one in my back, my T7, and I was rushed to hospital straight away.
Okay, so Maddie, how did you hear about it, first of all?
I heard about it like 10 minutes after it happened. It was a bit of bad luck. I had a friend that had just arrived from Ireland, and we were having a cup of tea, and the assistant trainer waved at us through the doors, and he said, Jason's had a fall, but he's on his knees, so he looked to be all right through the screen. And then he rang me, 20 minutes after?
Yeah.
And I just jumped straight in the car and went to the hospital.
Now, Jason, not many people can expect to get an injury like yours at work. Is the financial support and there for a jockey when you've had a bad fall and you're off?
Yeah, look, there's been so much work being done over the last couple of decades with the support that jockeys get during accidents, and I think the jockey club's at a really good stage now, and I get, paid what I would be earning if I was riding still. And what they do is they base it on how much of a good season you had the year before. They say how much they're going to be paying you, or how well you were doing before you had your incident. I'm very lucky that they were on the balls to me straight away the next day. Price, who deal with all the financial side of things, contacted me the next day and was on to it straight away.
Okay, it's lucky you had a good season there.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk recently about the staffing problem in horse racing. What's both your take on it?
I think it's one of those things that goes up and down. I mean, we've seen it here on the yard. We'll have seasons where we are struggling for staff, and then seasons where we're full staffed and flying. It could be advertised further afield than just already in the horse racing world. I think that would be a really big help, because there's so many young people that are in love with horses and everything, but don't necessarily really think that horse racing is a job that they can do.
Okay, so do you think that, you say people love horse racing, is it fair for the industry to see stable staff as making a lifestyle choice when it comes to giving them poor holiday and working hours compared to, in inverted commas, normal jobs?
To be honest, look, it's you just mentioned there, you don't get great holidays, and I mean, it depends on who you work for as to what your wages are like, but you got to have a real love, I think, for the animals and the industry, and it is a lifestyle, it's more than just a job. So I think that's kind of why the industry struggles to get the staff. But I think we just need a lot more media work being done, and really need to get it in the public eye.
Okay, now there must be a lot of young people, I mean, you're both relatively young as well, that have come to working yards, possibly their first job, some away from home for the first time. I mean, when I interviewed Lee Carvey, he said he cried for a week. Is there emotional support for young people that, that turn up?
Yeah. I mean, this yard alone, we have a member of senior management that is in charge of, well, there's two actually, that are in charge of anyone that, if they're not feeling comfortable or something's happened or they're just sad, that they are there for them to go to and chat, and it's totally between them. I don't know if every yard has that. I mean, I think they should. Because like you say, it's a big yard with lots of young people going through, growing up without their parents around them. But this yard really does support that.
Mm. Now, Maddie, you're head girl at the yard. Do you feel you've already reached as high as you can go?
No, not at all.
So I was going to say, so the lack of career prospects is something of a myth.
Yeah, absolutely. Racing. I mean, if you've got your mind set on something that you want to do, and it's a job that you're going to have to work for and climb, you can absolutely do it. I mean, you just have to put in the hours and the work for it. But this yard will always give you more and more chances and opportunities if you want them, and they know you want them. Then the chances are you can get them.
Okay, so what would your own ultimate ambition be?
I would quite like to do a bit of the abroad travelling as head girl. I'd love that. Or I would do an assistant trainer's job, but probably in a smaller yard. But you know, he would be a great stepping stone, and he would always help find somewhere for you to start that. So you know, see what happens, really.
Okay, so you're both fully committed on your careers at the moment. Jason looks like, you know, going right to the top as a jockey, but you've probably not thought about sort of families and, you know, the sort of the future to that extent. How would being entrenched in racing, living, working in a yard, affect your prospects of family life in the future? Would you, for example, you were in your flat now, would it be available to you if you needed 9 months off, you know, to look after a baby or whatever?
Yeah, it would.
So that works the same as any
other industry? Yeah, absolutely, that's the same as any job, yeah.
Okay, now Jason, you're a young man at the very beginning of your career, and it looks like a very bright future, but very few jockeys are going to continue much past their 50s, and that probably seems like a lifetime away, which it is, but is it something you think about, or are you just going to go for what you're doing now and do as well as you possibly can without worrying about that?
Yeah, that's right. Like you say, it's a long way away, and I think it's just starting to think about that at this stage. You're kind of, you know, it's not great. But I'm just going to try and keep doing what I'm doing, and just got to keep going up from here.
So about you, Maddie, is it a job for life, this career of yours?
Yeah, absolutely. You could stay here forever, you could do this life forever. I mean, we've got so many people here that have been here for 50 years, and they would never dream of doing anything else because they've absolutely loved it.
Right. So is the racing lifestyle, both of you, something you recommend to people, you know, young people just leaving school or college or whatever? And does it restrict you to doing things that other 18-year-olds would enjoy doing?
I would really recommend it. I've had the time of my life. I came here as a teenager and I've had so much fun. And it's like a second family, really. I would love it.
Okay, so what if other people, the people watching this, want to, they've liked what they've heard. What is the best route you would suggest into racing?
I would say get yourself into the Great British Racing School, the Northern Racing College, and they give you a tremendous amount of help, and they know your level of at what you're at and where's the best place for you to go. You know, the best yard for you to go at, and if you're interested in being a jockey, you know, it's a lot of it. There's a lot of support out there, but I think you've got to really push yourself because it's not an easy life. But you know, if you have a good year like I have, and you know your career looks promising, then you're in for a very nice life.
Do you have to struggle already with weight, or are you lucky it's a natural?
I have done in the past a few times, and it's never going to be easy, but you get yourself through it, and I've got it all under control, and everything's very good.
Right, so you obviously both love the lifestyle that you've chosen. Can you just sell it, Maddie, to somebody thinking about joining the racing game? People are looking for staff. Sell it to somebody that's watching this.
Okay, do it. Absolutely do it. I've had so much fun. I've learnt so much. It's opened so many doors. I went abroad. I went to the other side of the world to do it. And I loved it there as well. You can travel the whole world getting paid to do a job that you love with the animals that you love. And you make friends for life as well.
Okay, Jason, if it doesn't work out as a jockey, would you be happy working in the yard as a yard man? Or, you know, how is it for you if it doesn't work out for you?
Passion is horses, you know. It started this job through the love of horses, and I've obviously done my fair share of in the yard working and work around with the horses, so, you know, definitely I would consider it, and you know, like I said, I wouldn't be in it if I didn't love horses.
But of course, everybody's going to be watching this in 5 years time and you're champion jockey. Anyway, Maddie and Jason, thank you both very much.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
It's not just online betting at Star Sports. You can call us too on 08000 5-1 3-1 and speak directly to one of our friendly and experienced traders. BeGambleAware.org. Over 18 only.